Welcome back to Cinema Vino. This is another patio podcast, Cinema Patio. Here with Travis Budd, Sean Jordan.
Hi.
Hey. We're here to talk about Falcon Winter Soldier.
Episode two.
And so, share our thoughts on that. And the Suicide Squad Part 2 trailer that just came out. Red Band. So, thoughts on Falcon Winter Soldier?
You were
kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I didn't love it this time around. Mm. It was kind of, you know, WandaVision was much more quirky, and you're like, oh, what's going to happen next? This is crazy. This seems a lot like Winter Soldier, the movie, Cap movie with the volume turned way down. It still had, you know, looks like we're going to get one great action sequence per episode. Mm. And it was a good action sequence. It was great. And the guy that plays who I will call U.S. Agent, the new Cap, is you kind of love to hate him. And I didn't even realize he was the guy from...
Breaking Bad?
No.
Todd.
The World War II movie with zombies. I saw earlier.
Overlord.
Oh, Overlord. Yeah.
Yes.
He was the main dude in that, and I didn't even catch that.
I didn't catch that either.
No, he looks much skinnier now and less Captain America-esque.
I mean, he definitely had to get in shape for this role. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he had the other random dude, Battlestar, which, like, they have a lot of callbacks to Captain America, but right now it feels a lot like Netflix Daredevil, which was, for the most part, well done.
Yeah.
But they have little things that they're dropping in that they're... maybe not exploring as fully
as they could
have. They're
peppering in Easter eggs that could be a lot bigger if they wanted it to mm-hmm. be, but they're really leaving a lot on the table as far as, like, what content they're actually putting out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the friendship, well, frenemieship between Sam and Bucky, but it's really... This episode didn't grab me like the first one did.
Well, I think this was a meat and potatoes episode. I feel like it was a lot of, like, building up to the actual storyline. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of, okay, we're going to build up who the U.S. agent is, if you will. You know, obviously, U.S. agent is the comic book version of someone who kind of came in and tried to take on the role of Captain America when Captain America was down and out, either because he was dead or he was, you know, retired or he was frozen or whatever. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of times that the United States have tried to replace Captain America. And I think this story is kind of starting to dive into the ways that they've done that. So, mm-hmm. not only did we see U.S. Agent break in, but we also saw Isaiah, which...
Yes.
That was a nod to a black Captain America that they had during the time that Captain America was frozen. Or, you know, in this universe, it was when he was frozen, but in the comics, it was actually a nod to the Tuskegee Airmen
exactly.
trials
yeah.
that they had done. Mm-hmm. And... the Tuskegee syphilis trials,
mm-hmm. yeah.
where the United States tested a lot of things on black American soldiers during
before
World War
II. They would, yeah.
And so they started talking about, like, the United States has not stopped doing the super soldier experiments. They continued to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the weapons that the United States created
mm-hmm.
during the Korean War. Was it the Korean War or Vietnam?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Korea.
Korean War. Yeah,
that they
51.
Said Sebastian Stan or the Winter Soldier... took out a lot of guys, and then they sent him in to get him back.
That's a good point, because they introduced, basically, the U.S. agent, and then Battlestar, who I don't know as much about, but then they had Isaiah, who was the name of the comic with him that showed that those Tuskegee-style super soldier experiments was called The Truth, where you thought Steve Rogers was the first one that they had done, but the comic called The Truth showed Isaiah, and then much later he had, and whoever answered the door in the episode was probably his grandson named Elijah, that they, you know, find out inherited the super soldier serum later. So
and
I don't know if they'll go that route. He was in the Young Avengers.
Yeah, the Young Avengers. He leads the team as the Young
mm-hmm.
Avengers.
And his name is Patriot. And it's actually...
Young Patriot, right? Or is
no,
just
no,
Patriot?
Just Patriot.
Okay.
And that's, we live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the guy that wrote Young Avengers and came up with that concept, and a lot of the stuff from Scarlet Witch and her kids, His name is Alan Heinberg, and he wrote most of the Young Avengers, at least the first 12 issues, and then some of, like, the Child's Crusade. I don't know how long he was on it afterwards, but he was also a writer for, like, the OC and some other television, but, you know.
Is he that's from Tulsa, or did you just throw that out?
No, he's from Tulsa. Okay. Alan Heinberg.
You didn't connect that back.
Oh, whoops.
That would be great if it was just random. It's like, we're in Tulsa.
By the way, we're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Anyway.
Whoops.
So he's invited to the podcast if we want to.
Yeah.
Yep, for episode 3, Alan Heinberg.
That dude fucks.
We'll zoom him in if we need to. And so
I want to smell him. He needs to be in the same room.
So yeah, this episode tackled some dark issues. And it's like, comics can do that. You know, it's kind of like how Star Trek got away with stuff in the 60s of bringing in relevant political issues, cultural issues, but it's like it can kind of get away with it because it's sci-fi. Comics can get away with it because they're comics, and they can talk about some darker stuff like the Tuskegee, you know, which is still a big issue, you know, that they've discussed about, like, about relevance, how people in the black communities don't want to get the vaccines for COVID because they're suspicious of the medical industry because of the
Tuskegee. Or how the CIA, like, actively tested various hallucinogens on black communities in the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah. Some dark stuff.
Yeah.
And this definitely takes it on, you know, head on in this episode, which is interesting. I thought it's pretty deep stuff for a comic book adaptation, but that's good though. I enjoyed that about it.
And Disney has been pretty good about not shying away from heavier subjects in the last few years, which is pretty impressive given their track record.
Well, it's like now you've got with Marvel all this capital, all this, like, people invested into it that much. I mean, it's like it's good to use that to do more exploration of that and not just sell toys.
You know what this...
They're also selling toys, though.
They're doing both.
You know what this Captain America... Or, sorry, I keep saying Captain America, but Falcon and Winter Soldier reminds me of is that the Captain America comics, they were really pretty good back in the day. But there wasn't, like, everybody was buying that comic to read just about Captain America. I mean, as superheroes go, Captain America, if you keep reading over and over, kind of boring. What's he do? Like, he jumps through a whole bunch of Hydra soldiers. He throws his shield.
Yeah.
He might be like, ooh, like, my, you know, sight is better than anybody else's sight, so I can see further, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not that entertaining to just see a dude jump out of a helicopter and throw a shield.
Mm-hmm.
It gets kind of repetitive, but he had enough, like, sidekicks and interesting villains that even though they don't have Chris Evans anymore, they're like, well, we still have this all to mine from. So that's what this feels like to me. It's like not the greatest comic book ever to read, but, like, that's good. Like, if it's here, I'll watch it.
It's a moral
it.
Compass,
like,
vehicle through which we can kind of explore bigger issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's why they've started talking about, like, who should carry the shield? What is the meaning of Captain America? And why does the United States get to determine who gets to be Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're starting to look back in the history and saying, like, okay, they did it in the past. This isn't the first time that they've developed a super soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it earlier, is now they're starting to bring up the Power Broker. So in the comics, U.S. Agent gets his powers from the Power Broker.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he becomes someone who has superpowers out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the broken... they're Flag Breakers, the terrorist organization?
Flag Smashers.
Flag Smashers. Sorry. Flag Smashers.
Well, no, there's a singular villain named Flag Smasher, too, but they've made it a group.
Yeah. Well, and so they got their powers from the Power Brokers, and they sort of very subtly nodded to that, but that's going to become a bigger thing, as that's the big enemy. It's not the terrorist organization that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people who gave them powers.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to start looking into, is who's dealing out the power, where does that come from?
So, with the Power Broker, they make a supercharged Captain America, like this doesn't matter at all in the MCU, but their versions of Captain America are as strong as Spider-Man. They're 10-ton heavy, fuzzy lifting machines. And what I'm imagining is going to happen is that either the guy that's playing the new Captain America, who, again, I call U.S. Agent, he will either volunteer for the power broker assignment, thinking that he's not enough and he needs to step up and fill in
shoes. Because he got his ass kicked in the first fight.
Yeah. Or in some way, he will go through their version of the super soldier serum, that power broker thing, because that's what happened in the comics.
Yeah.
And then go just a little bit tiny ape shit, and, you know, in the comics, Captain America had to beat his ass and then get him, you know, set
him
straight.
Do you kind of want to go into a little bit about what U.S. Agent is in the comics and, like...
All right, so I don't know a whole lot. I know his name is John Walker. I know he was the government's, you know, their next pick to be Captain America because he was more easily controllable. And they could, you know, give him a shield. And he did have the original shield for a while and dressed exactly as Captain America. And Captain America dressed as a character called The Captain, who had the costume that would later be affiliated with U.S. Agent. So they essentially swapped at some point. But they had the Avengers, and then they had a second team, the Avengers West Coast.
Yeah.
That started by Hawkeye.
It's like rap.
And they had U.S. Agent hop into the Avengers West Coast so that they would have their own version of Captain America there. But he was just a much more violent and morally flexible and stronger, super strong Cap.
I mean, the whole, like, the entire thing about Captain America is the reason he was Captain America is because of his emotions and his moral compass and his ability to, like, he was a good person.
Yeah.
And they, you know, really hammered that home in the first movie, the first Avenger. And it doesn't matter who has the super soldier serum, no one is Captain America because Captain America is an emotional, it's a moral compass, it's a, you know...
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of been the whole point of Captain America is, like, this is what makes him special is, you know, no one can be Captain America because they don't have the same fortitude that he does.
The heart, yeah.
And I will say, before I forget, I was going to make this point earlier... Whenever Bucky and Sam are leaving Isaiah's house and you know, he's yelling at Sam, being like, why did you give up the shield and all this? And Sam is like, hey, maybe you will never understand this. And, you know, Steve would never understand this. I thought he was going to say something about being a black American. And if, you know, the majority of America saw him as Captain America... He wouldn't be a Captain America. He would be a black Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought he was going to give a little bit of a speech there.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little bit of a lost opportunity, unless they bring it up later.
Which they
but I was seeing that. He was like, but what he did say was like, neither one of you will understand, but I hope you'll understand that I did what I thought was right at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean... Which is not a bad line, but I thought he was going to go a little deeper with that.
And so you guys are talking about, you know, Easter eggs. Do we think they're saving those for later in the series, or are we saving those for movies in the future?
I think they've done several on the after credit scenes, and I honestly haven't done a deep dive into that.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing I'm kind of curious about is in the comics, U.S. Agent gets trained by Taskmaster. Taskmaster, who is the big bad in the Scarlet Witch, or not Scarlet Witch, the Scarlet Widow,
Black Widow.
Jesus, the Black Widow movie that was supposed to come out a year ago.
I don't think he's the big bad in Black Widow, but I think he's the bruiser, like the, you know.
He
can mimic other people's
Introduced in the Black Widow movie, and I think it's interesting to think about the timeline because Black Widow was supposed to come out a year ago. Right, it was supposed to come out May 2020, but they pushed it back to December, pushed it back now again to May. So we were supposed to be introduced to Taskmaster a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in the timeline, Black Widow was prior to the snap, because obviously Black Widow died. Spoilers. And so I'm curious to see if there's some sort of nod to Taskmaster being the one who trains him on the shield, because you can't just learn that on its own, even though they're like, oh, he's an MIT, like... He's super smart. He went to MIT. He's like got
bullshit.
You know, specs off the chart. It's like,
no,
you don't just learn how to throw a shield. Like that's the thing Captain America only knew because he was the super soldier and he could like see angles perfectly. And
but they also allude to like Sam will be able to do it eventually. I mean, I guess he's got to train with it. But Sam is by no means super soldier. Never did that. Like as far as I know, they never gave him that.
Right.
However, he lost Red Wing in this, and I thought Red Wing is so cool.
That was a good nod. I was like, they killed off Red Wing.
Yeah, I mean, Red Wing in the comic books is just a straight up bird, and he's got he's got a psychic rapport with it somehow because of the cosmic cube, as you know, we would call it the Tesseract, but it's basically like another Infinity Gauntlet thing, which if you're holding it, you can make anything happen. And somehow, Red Skull, when he was fighting Captain America, was like, I really want this guy to be psychically connected to a Falcon. It makes no goddamn sense. And then since I think Red Wing actually became a vampire, so he was like a vampire bird, just so that he would have a little more survivability when somebody like shot a fucking missile at him. But you know, I never read any of those. Like, I'm a hoe for show on that. But I much prefer the idea of the drone and where he can, like, you know, see it with his goggles and, like, you know, look. I was like, oh, yeah, he has the heads up display. Cool.
He has the
yeah,
thing.
Like, mm-hmm. Even if it had like no weaponry whatsoever and it was just like a scouting, like, stealth machine, like, that was super fucking cool. So
like part where Bucky was like, yeah, there's only two of them. What's gonna happen? And he was like, you sure about that, bud? Is that five?
You got that?
It's five.
What? And when I saw the ad for it, and they were talking about Red Wing and not trusting Red Wing, I thought that, like, Sam had, like, a homeboy, like, a guy in the chair that was always, like, in Red Wing and could, like, give him intel, so that was always, like, piloting it. And he was like, okay. So, I mean, that still may be the case. They may drop that later, but, you know, it would be more helpful if he didn't always have to, like, sit there and stop and look through it.
He's got his soldier friend who has been kind of, like, helping out behind the scenes and helping out with missions.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a YouTube video where that guy in the comic books, after Falcon becomes the new Captain America, that dude that got his ass stomped by the Flag Smashers, Sam's homeboy, becomes the new Falcon, but it was like mutated again by a villain and takes on actual Falcon characteristics, and he's like, yeah, you can be my sidekick. So when Captain America still had a Falcon, it was it sounds like they were reaching. Again, I did not read those
comic book logic can go with so much more than the MCU can.
Yes.
Which is why the MCU's been really good about, like, adapting comic book logic.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can cherry pick the best ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be like, that's a bit much.
I like they've set up a running gag all the way back to Civil War about the other characters don't like or trust Red Wing. You know, it's like, you know, Black Widow in Civil War, he's like, what was it? He was like, say thanks to Red Wing or whatever when he like comes in and does his stuff at the beginning. She's like, I'm not thanking that thing. And now in this one, it's like,
I forgot that
nobody's like, you know, Winter Soldier's like, yeah, I can't stand that thing, whatever, I hate that thing.
Yeah.
Like, poor mechanical bird
got broken in half. He's like, you were happy about that.
It's just a dope looking drone. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is.
So I don't know why these other characters all hate this bird so much.
Yeah, it's just a fucking GoPro with a like a 9mm strap to it.
They just don't trust technology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool. I hope he gets another one. It just gave him another dimension.
That was how U.S. Agent was tracking him, and he was like, well, U.S. government property.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. They used his own bird against him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them rejecting it because of that, and trying to go off base.
That's true.
And still, I think a heavy Bourne vibe with the Winter Soldier and, like, all these super soldiers everywhere and, like, you know, like the Winter Soldier, it's like he really still doesn't have an identity in the world. Like, he doesn't know who he is. Is still processing where he came from and, you know, and how he fits into, like, all these other bad guys that have this training. It's like, again, still kind of Bourne-like to me.
They definitely, so, again, in the comic books, he doesn't have the Super Soldier serum at all, the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
All he has is a bionic arm. But in this one, they definitely showed him.
They powered him up, yeah.
Yeah, like, super speed running at a truck. Also, how did the dude in the truck behind him not say anything?
He just kept driving straight.
Yeah, did he not honk the goddamn horn?
Also,
the fuck? He'd be like,
Nissan that was just following behind the truck the entire time.
There's always a Nissan.
Just like casually driving behind, watching these people fight on top of the 18-wheeler.
No.
And someone falls on top, like, oh no.
It's like, I'm going to pull over if that's happening.
Yeah,
like,
and when Bucky was like, hey, yeah, hey man, I've got something to tell you. I thought he was going to tell Sam that, like, he had stuck a tracker on the underside of, like, one of those trucks when he was stuck down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh! Like, I thought he was going to be like, all right, I stuck a tracker there. I wasn't going to tell you, but now we can go. Like, no.
I like the bit where he was like, oh, it's been, like, a little bit of time in Wakanda, and now you're White Panther, and it's White Wolf. I was like, what?
And which is also Jon Snow.
Oh, I don't know. Oh. Hello. Huh. I don't know who. I really like the actress that plays the therapist.
Yeah, she's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've seen her in several other films before. She's, like, to me, a little like Stanley Tucci, where I've seen her everywhere and in everything. She's always about it,
mm-hmm.
but I can never fucking remember her name.
Yeah.
She's, anyway, she's dope as fuck, and she definitely fucks.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, what are we drinking?
We got Republic of Pink Rosé, and then this is number 6. This is called number 6, Gamay Noir, which is Beaujolais.
Say that again. Gamay?
Gamay or Gamay Noir.
Spell that.
So Gamay.
Oh, I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Now you're getting it. yeah, easy drinking. It's been a warm day, so these are kind of summertimey, spring type.
Yeah, this is nice.
Vinos, yeah. Good so, porch wines.
Todd, I am still loving the shit out of this porch.
Yeah. We do it right.
This is lovely out here.
We're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, Sean, your thoughts?
Good
this,
weather.
This weather will last, like, a week.
Yes.
Alan Heinberg.
Call us, Alan. We'll hang out.
13th Warrior. Good weather.
Mm-hmm. Nah, he's probably in L.A. now. I don't know.
Bill Hader's also from Tulsa. He might want to hang out.
Yeah. Get him over here and watch some
episodes of sister. Barry
on the TV.
I mean, very little.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts, it was a meat and potatoes episode. You know, it was one of those that the first one sort of set the tone, built the characters. Like, oh, what's Sam been up to since the snap? Oh, mm-hmm. he's helping his family. Oh, what's Winter Soldier been up to since the snap? Nothing. He's just, like, sitting mm-hmm. in a cage. He's been, you know, pardoned by the president, and he's just going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
This one was like, okay, let's bring them together. Both of them have sort of a common cause now. It's, there's, you know, the shield is off doing whatever.
Yeah.
I like that they started talking about the big three, which is
aliens, androids, and wizards, or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
it was what like, is a wizard exactly? aren't a thing. Right?
And they okay. reference Gandalf.
For the record, wizards, sorcerers, very different.
To me, the same thing. I don't know.
Very different.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, what is the difference between, you know, Pinot Grigio and Pinot Gris?
And he was like, Doctor Strange. He's like, oh, he's a sorcerer. Like, they have literally seen magic happen.
Mm-hmm. Fireflies, lightning bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always weird in Marvel Comics where they're like, what? Vampires? No, surely you just... They're not real. Or
Blade!
Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Blade didn't is a
you?
Vampire.
Yeah.
Don't you guys hang out?
Yeah, yeah, like 2 years ago, you fought Blade and Morbius. Like, why don't you... All right, well, you're just an idiot, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think this was kind of... This will be a bridging episode to kind of lay the groundwork for them to be able to do more stuff. They kind of built up the tension between them and U.S. Agent.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of said, like, okay, U.S. Agent got his ass kicked by the Flag Smashers. And so I think they started... Flag Smashers introduced the Power Brokers, and that's going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of one-offed it, and they just said, oh, these are the people that the Flag Smashers are scared of because they stole something that the Flag Smashers cared about,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the Super Soldiers here. They
yeah.
probably gave that to more people yeah. than the Power Brokers wanted them to, or... something. They're building a small army, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm curious to see where that goes. Because the whole point of the Super Soldier Serum was it was an analogy for the atomic bomb, mm-hmm. right? Both the Nazis and the U.S. were building a Super Soldier Serum at the same time, trying to get to it first. But the U.S. won. The Nazis kind of spun off into Hydra. Baron Zemo was a whole thing. And then we got a slight nod toward Baron Zemo at the end.
Yeah, which was
yeah.
nice.
And in the comics, the Russians were, like, everyone was building towards a super soldier serum. Is
yeah,
that
which is
some version or variation?
It's just an analogy
got,
for
right.
the nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing. So
Canadians had Wolverine.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Russians had Omega Red.
The British had Union Jack.
Was he a super soldier?
I don't know.
Oh, all right, cool.
Who was Captain Britain?
Captain Britain was actually, I don't know where he got his powers from. If it was like from like Uther Pendragon, and he was basically like rogue.
What a
like,
great name.
Mm-hmm. He didn't touch anybody to steal their powers. He was just like
Pendragon.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a half strength Superman, basically. He could fly, he was super strong, he was fast.
No
laser vision or anything, but
he could fly.
Frost
he could fight.
He could crow.
Yeah.
I was excited to see Zemo.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, and apparently he will have a more comics accurate costume, which
yeah,
is dope.
Yeah, they're giving him a purple face,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we got Power Broker, we got Flag Smashers, we got Sharon Carter will definitely show up.
Yeah, and I want to see if Taskmaster comes into the mix.
I don't think he will. I think he'll hang on to that, but it's, I really want to see all the weird Cap villain, like Arnim Zola, they had...
All of
just
Cap's villains
little...
are basically just, like,
evil
Walmart Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
But that'd be a great
but
Arnim
Zola,
if
Walmart Nazis.
If Arnim Zola can clone his brain or like, have his memory engrams in, like, a different computer, like, he could have done it multiple times. And in the comics, he's just, like, a giant TV screen on a torso, an android torso he's made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kang, what?
From Ninja Turtles?
Oh, Krang.
Krang,
yes.
Sorry.
And then he has just other, just weird, random villains.
Those are owls. We're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heisenberg. What was the guy's name?
Heisenberg.
Hindman.
Todd, are you going to make fun of me about this all the time? You live here, too.
We are in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
We're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Alan Heinberg lives here, too. Young Avengers. There you go.
I'm sorry.
But I liked the episode as a bridging episode. You know, I obviously it's you got to have some meat and potatoes to build the blocks to get the more fun stuff.
I agree.
So we've got 6 more episodes to go. I'm not worried about it.
6 more? No, we got 4.
Yeah.
Is this 6 episode series?
It's going to be 6 total from
what
I've heard.
Suck me sideways. I thought it was 8.
Suck me sideways.
All right, well, redacted. Fuck this episode.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of room for those kind of filler, like, we got that stuff to plot in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a common, like, screenwriting trick, or writing trick in general, to have the therapy angle. That way, you can
exposition.
Get... Exposition. Yeah, you can get a lot of exposition in that way, because you have a situation where your characters just sit and talk for long stretches. And it's not a bad thing. Ordinary conversation, it's bad. People don't generally just tend to drivel on about themselves, but it's like... In that setting, they're supposed to. And so you can get away with more... Get more information out.
In this case, they forced them to hash out the beef between Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get it out in the open. Like, explain the tension. Why is there tension between these two characters?
It's very coupley.
Put them in a room where they have to literally say why there's tension.
It's almost like a marriage counseling thing when they're sitting there like, you have to work this out.
Yeah, yeah. I did like that, and they made them get real close and uncomfortable. I was like, this is pretty good.
Having a staring contest?
Yeah. they've got a pretty good rapport.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's antagonistic, but I get it. Episode 1, they each have their own foibles that they're going through, and then episode 2, they meet up. Episode 3, they're going to be, teammates
all
and
around.
Have issues, but,
mm-hmm.
Doing some spy craft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Marvel does it right. You know, they're going to, like, eventually become, like, some degree of buds.
Well, and I think they really learned their
buds,
lesson with the Netflix series, because the Netflix series had a problem where they said, okay, every series or every season's going to have 10 episodes,
mm-hmm.
and episode, like, 5 through 8 just sagged. It was just like slow. They went off in different directions for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It got really just, you had to slog through
tedious.
It to get to the actual meat and potatoes
mm-hmm.
of the episodes. And I think they learned their lesson from it. They said, why do we have to do this? Let's just have a 6-episode series or an 8-episode series and just cut through the bullshit.
It's a cereal box you have to dig through for the treat for a while to find it.
Yeah, Luke Cage dealt with the first villain of the series, and I was like, oh no, is he really out? Is he really gone? And oh, then cool. they did is that the whole
end of the season. Oh,
and then they did the whole second half, and the whole second half was just dog shit.
It was.
First half of Luke Cage was awesome. I loved Mahershala Ali. Yeah, I don't remember.
Mahershala.
Thank you, Mahershala Ali was awesome, and I loved Alfre Woodard as Mama or Big Mama, but like he had like a offshoot brother hardcore, like that was just it was just bullshit
but
near the end.
You saw
it
the
was
same
a
thing.
Really bad version of Meteor Man. The last
but you
episode
saw the same thing with Jessica Jones. You saw the same thing with Daredevil for all three seasons. Punisher. All of them just sort of sagged in the middle.
Season one of Jessica Jones was delightful.
Was,
like, even all the...
That might be the,
I don't remember,
the best of all of them.
I don't remember... The one with David Tennant. I did watch season two of Jessica Jones, and Jesus Christ, that was real bad. And, however, Iron Fist season two got better because it had more Colleen Wing in it. But
Iron
it was
Fist.
Still was, like, not mainly Iron Fist.
Iron Fist was, like,
and then,
10 episodes of SAG and one episode
yeah,
of, like...
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And I still have not finished season 2 of Punisher. Like, I got 4 or 5 episodes in, and it also had a strong, like, therapist thing for the dude that played Scarface in it. I've had to put it down. I'm like, man, I just, like... No, thank you. Jon Bernthal... Excellent Punisher,
yeah.
But like whatever it is on that season two is just electric boogalooing all over like my toilet seat,
and
like
this,
it's bad news.
This is a tangent. I'm sad that there's some extremist group that calls
excrement.
Themselves like that too, but that calls themselves the Boogaloos or some like far
the
right.
The Boogaloo Boys,
yeah,
it's
they
ruined.
Stole my word.
I know.
Oh no,
my Wi Fi network is Skynet 2 electric boogaloo. And when I had the AT&T guy come over, he was like, gave me kind of a weird look, and I was like, you better not think I'm a white supremacist.
Yeah. That's been never, was it Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, the sequel?
Yeah.
That's now awesome. Every bad sequel, you can just put that on there. It works.
I know, and then I did something, oh, I did on something on social media, the okay symbol, but the one that's below the waist.
Yeah.
Which is
ruined.
Like, which means two for,
now
you know,
it's a white
flinching.
Power thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now it's a white power thing. That is not.
Nazis ruin everything.
They do.
Jesus, I almost did it.
They ruin Walmart.
Some people that listen
and
to
I,
podcasts.
Like,
fuck
I used
you.
To do it all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
I would be drunk and I couldn't I couldn't properly respond to somebody. And then I would do, like, that hand gesture. And I'd be like, all right, now I can't do the hand gesture
yeah.
anymore. Even if I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Why are they
they're
taking
gonna
everything
ruin,
from us?
Like, thumbs up. They're gonna ruin like
everything. So I enjoyed Falcon Winter Soldier.
Not as much as WandaVision.
No,
it's
I have to see the whole picture.
WandaVision was slow in the beginning and then it picked up. I had to tell people to like give WandaVision 4 or 5 episodes.
4 episodes for WandaVision, and I will do the same for Winter Soldier. But
I'll give it 6 because
it seemed
there's only 6.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. But it seemed like WandaVision had 3 episode arcs, and that's how it went. Like, you know, it wasn't until episode 4 that shit hit the fan, and maybe it'll be the same with Falcon Winter Soldier, in that each one is like maybe 2 episodes and then 2 episodes. I have no clue.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm still on board. I still enjoy it, but like I just didn't love this one as much as I loved the first episode.
Yeah, it was such a strong first episode. There was almost nowhere to go but like down, especially because it's like you could tell they spent so much budget on that first episode, so much CGI, so much like they invested so much in that, especially the French kicking dude that could jump out of the helicopter,
Batroc the Leaper,
yeah,
who is GSP gross national product. What's his name? If Taylor were here, if Taylor had gotten here on time,
mm-hmm.
like a professional, he would tell me what GSP stands for. George St. Pierre. Anyway, if your name is George St. Pierre and you were Batroc the Leaper, you can go fuck yourself because Taylor wasn't here to tell me about
it. If you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, come join our podcast.
We're out south. Just follow the sound of my voice.
Todd lives around... What street is this?
This is...
San Mavino?
This is Terwilliger. I forgot what I was going to say. So, do we think that like Daredevil and those guys are going to be in the MCU? Like, are they going to... Same actors.
It would be a shame to recast Daredevil because Charlie Cox was a really good Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Ben Affleck.
It's a great Cox.
It's a low bar.
No, sorry, he's, Ben. Charlie Cox has apparently already filmed scenes for the third Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yes.
As true. Matt Murdock, as a attorney. So he might not be, you know, Daredevil in costume, but he'll be maybe Matt Murdock as an attorney.
The Netflix series was really building up to the Defenders, which we had a Defenders series, sort of. Which, I mean, that was Spider-Man's, like, little brothers, basically, was all the smaller, each borough's defender, basically. Mm-hmm. So you had, you know, Jessica Jones, you had your Daredevil, mm-hmm. Luke Cage.
Iron Fist. So they were really the heroes for hire, which you would, and I'm pretty butthurt about the whole Defenders thing, because the Defenders are Hulk, Doctor Strange, Namor, and Silver Surfer. Plus other people that aren't as popular. But, you know, hopefully we'll get a Disney's Defenders.
Not to be confused with the Illuminati, which was Hulk.
No, Hulk wasn't on the Illuminati.
Oh, no, because the Illuminati fucked the Hulk.
Yep.
It was Charles Xavier.
Doctor Strange.
Was Doctor Strange in it?
Yep. Mr. Fantastic. Yep. Submariner.
Iron Man?
Iron Man, and there was one... Oh, no, Black Panther was invited, but he didn't join. There's one other one. I can't remember. Yeah.
There's a lot of subgroups.
Let's talk about Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
They say.
We're doing a whole separate episode.
No, I have no idea. It was a mosquito.
We have a lot of those in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
God, I'm gonna. Should I leave?
We don't mean to attack.
So the James Gunn Suicide Squad, which it's not called Suicide Squad 2, it's just called the Suicide Squad, right? Mm-hmm.
It's like the Wolverine.
God, what a movie!
Yeah.
thoughts?
Oh Jesus, I gotta talk here too. Well, I'll carry this podcast. Go ahead, Todd.
I enjoyed it. I'm real gun shy after.
Gun shy.
Yeah. I mean, DC
we're gonna
in general.
Demonetized.
Yes, we are. I gun shy after the previous Suicide Squad. I mean, Harley Quinn. I mean, just everything. I'm skeptical, even though they've got good people making it, which is everything. You know. So maybe that'll turn it around. I don't know. I'll have to see it to believe it.
I like the director for the original one, David Ayer. He directed the first Deadpool, I believe. I could be a liar. But am I wrong?
I can fact check you on the spot, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Let's do some research.
I don't know where my phone went. There it is. This one is, well, obviously James Gunn, which I watched the trailer, and I'm like, alright, fine, I guess. But I'm going to watch it because it's directed by James Gunn. I would watch it anyway. But it does... Well, I was going to say it looks better than the first one, but the trailers for the first one looked really good. And then when I saw it, it was dog shit. What I did find interesting, and I don't know really any of the new villains, like Polka Dot Man, I guess. And Idris Elba is playing Bloodsport, who I don't really know.
Which
I know Deadshot.
Is
still
just a movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And
that's true.
Ben Diesel did one, I think. No, that was Bloodshot?
Bloodshot.
Good lord, that was awful.
But it does
Bloodsport's a great movie.
But it does have Killer Shark, who is just an opposite of Groot. Just, you know, eats
Killer Shark.
We're definitely getting demonetized.
This is great wine. Which was great. And then, I don't know who else. I mean, Margot Robbie is great as Harley Quinn, but I just did not love her solo film.
It was alright.
They had adaptations of several other characters, and I just didn't like. I liked all the actresses for Huntress and Black Canary, mm-hmm. but I just didn't like I didn't like the film overall.
She plays a great Harley Quinn, mm-hmm. and I think they wanted to build off that. They just didn't do it in a great way.
Nah.
They need a great Joker to go along with her, and I still think Jared Leto is the great Joker that she needs.
So I'm all about,
not
like,
the one she deserves right now.
I would, Jesus, I want to see Harley Quinn as a straight up Batman villain. Like, I want to see her with the Joker in a film. Here's the thing. I'm A-okay with Harley breaking away from Joker and being, you know, it's a terrible, shitty relationship she's in. I want to see that she's in a terrible, shitty relationship and then see her leave and not just have it being, like, a B subplot of a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
She 86 is from him, is out on her own, and then I would love to see a Gotham City Sirens movie with her and Poison Ivy as a, you know, kind of Thelma Louise duo, and maybe even, like, Catwoman in there.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes do that. But the only problem I have with Gotham City Sirens is that you take three Batman villains and you say, hey, they're not bad. They're all kind of friends and they all hang out. And then you've lost three female Batman villains and, you know, three of his main ones.
Yep.
And you're just like, oh, yeah, all the female villains, they're not that bad. And they hang out and they high five.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. I mean, when you take away two, that's bad. When you take away all three, and one of which Catwoman is always kind of a friend foe, fucks it up, in my opinion.
Yeah. What I think is if you have Poison Ivy, you really need Mr. Freeze next to, because that way you can put two villains together who have opposite goals. One wants to, like, turn everything green, and the other wants to freeze everything to death. Team them up and have them completely set against each other. That's a great writing right there.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
It's like one of them wants to make everything grow up.
Crank the AC.
The other one wants to turn everything into a block of ice.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Nice to meet you.
I had a friend that mentioned, he was like, yeah, if they keep doing these Christian Bale Batman movies, I would love to see a Poison Ivy that's just, you know, maybe she uses crazy poisons or not, or whatever. But whatever she does, she's like a crazy, super eco-terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, shit.
That
would
work.
I'm down with that.
You could do that.
Yep. Sounds great to me.
Mm-hmm.
But so, Suicide Squad, I'll watch it. And they showed the very first villain the Justice League ever fought was a giant purple starfish named Starro. And that he could have, like, little, I don't know if it was just replicating itself, but it had several smaller starfish that would then, like, suction cup, like, themselves to somebody's face. And the only thing that would be, like, open is their nose and mouth, but the weird star eye would be looking out in the middle, and Starro could then mind control that creature. So Superman would get, bam, crazy purple alien starfish on the face, and then immediately be taken over.
Yeah, but he can't use laser eyes because his eyes are covered.
That is 100% true. Could not use laser eyes. But sounds super cool. So the only, you know, another thing I've seen is like, wow, how dare they fight Starro? Like, Starro, the Justice League. Like, you really needed to give the Justice League some shitty villain to fight in the first movie, Starro would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like a random ass, like,
yeah, but that
alien.
Would, that would be a team level fight. That
would
be like,
it would be a team level
like
fight.
A one. Like, just Wonder Woman could go take care of that.
Oh.
On a round.
Am I wrong in the Marvel world, doesn't the Purple Man, doesn't he take over the Avengers at one point?
I think most of them. He was mainly a Daredevil villain until they had Jessica Jones, and then Brian Michael Bendis wrote the comic book Alias starring Jessica Jones to where Purple Man was way more relevant to her life and was, you know, much more chaotic and basically elevated that kind of B-level villain into much more important threat.
Yeah.
And then he fought Avengers after that. But he's, I would argue, never as terrible to say as good, or he has never flown so high as he did in that Jessica Jones run, I think.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, James Gunn started directing this movie because he got kicked off of Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Right? Yes, because Disney had to be like...
He had some tweets.
He had some tweets back in the day.
Were not tasteful. He got yeeted off the old Disney.
Yeah, he was doing edgelord shock and awe tweets, and it was in tongue-in-cheek, and it was a joke, as far as I know. And then
it was
Disney was like...
that basically got him kicked off, like, 8 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had already done Guardians 1 and 2, and then these tweets resurfaced from some conservative news outlet that were, at that point, 8 years old, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And then they were like, well, we can't have this person doing it. And so they made the show...
He got
of,
kicked off.
Yeah, they...
He got picked up by by DC Studios wanting to do Suicide Squad.
I 100% think that Disney was just like, hey, we have to say that we're firing you for 6 months, and then we'll bring you back on, and then that will cool things off.
Yeah.
And he was...
Yeah.
It,
Marvel
I mean,
picked him back up
yeah.
For Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So he's coming back and finishing his trilogy.
But also there was a whole thing about, like, you know, all the actors on Guardians of the Galaxy 3 were like, oh, bring back James Gunn. Like, I'm not going to do it without it.
Release the Snyder Cut.
Hashtag.
And I like our idea of, like, give every director a chance
to
with the Snyder Cut.
Give every director a chance to recut Justice League. Give them the same footage that's been filmed.
Release the Ang Lee cut.
I still want to see the George Miller Justice League. But now Armie Hammer is going to be, like, nibbling on people, I guess. Because he's got, like, God, I wish he'd choke me.
Release the Quentin Tarantino Snyder Cut.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see Quentin Tarantino's Justice League.
But you
it's
would.
It's just Wonder Woman's feet the entire time.
It's Uma Thurman and some star-spangled underoos, like, pouring crevassier down her feet into Quentin's awaiting
Amber Heard is barefoot the entire time.
What does Brainiac look like? Does he look like a bitch?
I mean, kind of.
I mean, like you say, if Marvel can have the guy with, like, the head right here, DC can do whatever the hell they want.
Mm. Well,
that's the thing, though. Marvel can get away with a lot of shit because they do it well.
Mm-hmm.
DC can't get away with as much.
Marvel's
they
the kid that everybody likes.
Yeah.
Marvel's everybody's favorite sibling. DC is like the...
No, DC could do that, but they have some fucking jabronis being, like, pouring jabroni sauce on everything.
Yeah,
they just
haven't found their rhythm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe with Suicide Squad.
Suicide, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get it back.
I mean,
they look
at a simple corn chip, and they're like, this would be delicious. But then they just pour jabroni sauce all over it and then try to crunch it, and they're like, well, that chip was great, and you made it fucking soggy.
Yeah.
Like Green Lantern, and like Batman vs. Superman, and like fucking Justice League, and like the fucking Snyder Cut.
Well,
let's
leave Green Lantern out of it, because it was kind of their first foray back into the movie business. And it just kind of sucks.
Look, they suck. They know they suck. And they suck.
And what they had been making some strides. I said this earlier. They made some strides with, like, Shazam.
Mm-hmm. Which is great, I think.
Aquaman wasn't great. It was visually appealing.
Yeah.
But
it was basically, it was Black Panther in
better
the water.
Than Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then even...
To go back, like, 5 years to try and, like, for some reason recut the Justice League... I think was a mistake, because they kind of set themselves back in the momentum they'd gained with everything they've done since then.
Yeah, Wonder Woman 1984 was still not great, but it wasn't bad.
It was fun.
It was, yeah, it was entertaining.
It was a fun romp through the 80s.
It's nothing I'm going to buy on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever. It's like, I can skip that.
Yeah.
And it produced a great meme of Pedro Pascal. It's like, this is
it
good,
could
but
it could
be better.
Am I the only person that thinks, like, 2016 was, like, 2 years ago?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 5 years ago?
Also, Kristen Wiig, Cheetah.
Not great.
Could have been...
Not great.
Well, could have been better. She looked cool, but I just needed the, you know, brightness turned up on the TV, and I needed her to remain Cheetah for longer. Like, I liked the progression, but I needed it
They really
exponentially
gained on her Cheetah-ness.
Mm-hmm.
If they had done a next Justice League... When they were like, we need a league of our own. And it had Deathstroke, and it had Black Manta, and it had Cheetah, and it had, Mark Strong as Sinestro? Like, fucking, yes, do that.
I don't
every single...
They need to bring back Sinestro, because he's a great galactic villain that I think could do a lot of justice for the DC universe.
For the Justice League.
But to do that, they got to bring back a Green Lantern. And so far, they haven't shown the balls to have done that because they're still scarred by the shitty.
That was my thing. I would rather Idris Elba be John Stewart Green Lantern rather than, I don't even know who Bloodsport is. Like, I can look that up. It's great. But we have no Will Smith as Deadshot anymore.
Yeah, what happened to that? He just didn't want to sign on for
I guess he didn't want
to. Yeah, I mean, it's all money.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Deadshot is the main dude for Suicide Squad. Like, Harley Quinn came in later.
Yeah, she's
an afterthought. Deadshot was a random, like, Batman villain that got a little, you know, love, and then he wasn't one of those crazy Arkham people where you had to, like, slap him in an asylum. He was like, look, I'm just here to try and make money, and I really like making it from a long way away.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Trailer was good.
Mm-hmm.
TBD on the movie.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the... What do they play? Dirty Work? It reminded me of the awesome mix from Guardians of the Galaxy with the trailer and James Gunn. You know what? I'll still watch it.
Yep. There is a spaceship going overhead right now.
Where it's also calm.
Yeah, if you're tracking this on your...
If you know what flight this is.
But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Todd.
Travis.
Sean.
Taylor is incognito. Is that the right word?
He got way day drunk and couldn't make it over here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he got tetanus. So.
Honestly, he accomplished, and I wish I was at home drunk as well.
Now, I am at home, and I'm not drunk, so I'll have to work on that. But we will see you guys next time.
Wink.
You can listen, rate, subscribe to Cinema Vino, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at ToddWoffordMovies.com.
I totally forgot I had Geronies in my pocket, which is now a sentence I've said. I forgot. I was a little drunk when I got over here. I forgot I had your undies in my pocket.